God, as we pray together, that, Lord, you would hear us. And, God, more importantly, that we would hear you. Again, Lord, we have entered to this sacred moment. And it is the moment that we have. We cannot reclaim yesterday. We can only dream about tomorrow. But we have this moment. And in this moment, Lord, we would humble ourselves. Seated in this place are those who desire a fresh rhema word from you. We need to hear from you so that we don't go alone. We don't want to stray to the left, and we don't want to waver to the right. We need to hear from you. And Lord, when you speak to us, we must comply to that which you have said. So again, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears. Please, God, make our hearts to be fertile, receptive, mature, that when the seed has fallen, it will bring forth fruit in its season. And God, help us to understand seasons. Not all of us are on the same cycle. Seasons come in due seasons. Lift us above those things that have mired us and strangled us, shackled us. Take us higher, that we would better survey the land and see the promise that is in Christ Jesus. Again, open our eyes and our ears. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy indeed. Forgive us. For many of us, Lord, we've only done the best we know how. Sometimes for the world, that wasn't good enough. But Lord, if you'll say, well done. If you'll say, okay. And we'll be all right. And we promise, God, that we'll try even harder with the next blessing in the next moment, that we would grow in Christ Jesus and give you all the praise and the glory. Now, God, make preaching satisfying for those who have come to hear and are thirsty. Nourish those, Lord, who need their strength. Bless us now. In the name of Jesus. The redeemed of the Lord together would say amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Grab your Bibles. Thank you, Minister White and Dr. Dickerson, for blessing us and driving us forward in the worship. To our guests today, we're very thankful that you've come to share with us. And we've got guests all the way from Burlington, North Carolina. That's a long ride. And we thank you for coming by today and for sharing with us. And thank you even for those of you who are local. And if you did not fill out a guest card today, that's all right. Sometimes we feel very secretive or very private about our information, and that's okay. But we wanted you to know how glad we were that you came by, and we're so very thankful that you've come to worship with us today. And pray, God, that you will hear something that will help you along your journey. We're standing in reverence to the Word of God and pray that others will join with us as we prepare ourselves to read from the Book of Life. Again, we ask that you stand with us and share in the Word of God. If you are unable to stand, that's all right. We appreciate you, and we pray, God, that you know that you are blessed and welcome. In Matthew chapter 9, we are going to engage upon a story of ministry and help that I pray will inspire you to know that God is able. To know that God is able. I want to say thank you. I do say thank you to those who have engaged to purchase these sporting event tickets for me. I appreciate that. It's very nice of you. I intend to make the best of it. I do tell you now in advance that the Florida State Seminoles are 5-0. And if I go down to North Carolina next week and they lose, I'm just not coming back. I'm just going to stay down there and be on the bandwagon with North Carolina State or something. But thank you so much. That's very nice of you. I intend to enjoy that. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Is where we will start. Again, I mentioned to you we're going to engage upon this story of ministry and opportunity, and I just know it's going to bless you. If you're there, would you say amen? Amen. Verse 27, I have a New Living Translation Bible, and it reads as follows. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying. Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." And suddenly they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, "Do not tell anyone about this." But instead, they spread his fame all over the region. God bless you. You may be seated. Dr. Corbett, it's good to see you. Sister Ava, God bless you. Young Master Corbett as well. Again, he is our friend in ministry and a friend indeed. We are always thankful that he comes to share with us, travels a great distance, and is doing a great work for the Lord. To all of you, my brothers and sisters, beloved, we are thankful that you are with us and your presence means so much to us as we are in the faith together. Would you ask you to do me a favor? I don't want to trouble your patience long today. I've certainly got a lot on my mind, and I just need your prayers. Amen. So do me a favor. Don't make preaching hard. And besides, we got folk that came all the way from North Carolina. Don't want to think we don't know how to have church up here. But smile and look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, pastor's going to preach more than a possibility." More than a possibility. There is, without question, a lot to be said about faith. And I do want to caution you, sanctified folk, that we're not the only ones who talk about faith. Not just the church is what I'm suggesting to you, that even the secular world talks about faith. But there is something to be said about faith, especially the kind that is both workable and sustainable to the believer. Don't miss that. It has to be workable and sustainable to the believer. James would have us to know that faith without works is dead. And many of us not any of you, because you're the most wonderful people, but many of us know world faith, but not word faith. It's not an indictment. It's not to incite a riot among the believers, but it is an observation that is beyond that of the casual eye. And I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that if you're going to engage in faith, you got to engage with working faith. Remember now, John has this to say about it, that faith works according to our faith. That's interesting, Vicky. Faith works according to our faith. Whatever you believe will be done. The problem might be that many of us have a do-nothing approach to our faith. We only want it to work when it'll work like we want it to work in the thing we want to work it in. Y'all will get that in the car. Many of us in the church have hung around and seen the symbolisms of faith, but not the sustainable levels of faith. In other words, we're up and down, we're in, we're out, we're hot, we're cold. Y'all ain't talking to me. That's how we do sometimes. It is signifying faith. Our testimonies often give us away because we talk about how God did it only after it's done, but cannot strongly testify that God will do until it's done. Y'all don't want to help me none. Anybody can brag about what done happen. But it's another kind of caliber of believer that can brag before it ever happens. Amen. I'm just trying to help you, because if you gonna engage in faith, you got to have faith. Amen. Some things are gonna take us out of here. Some things ain't gonna never get no better. But I'm gonna praise God anyhow, cause I just believe in the possibilities. So he has said to us on more than one occasion that it requires a level of personal involvement. It's right there in the text. You understand that there were more than two blind folk in town that day. I said there were more than two blind folk in town that day. There are more than two broke folk in the church today. There are more than two troubled marriages in church today. There are more than two unemployed folk in church today. Y'all ain't helping me yet. There are more than two of any kind at any time, but it's the two that operate in their faith that will move beyond the possibility. You can't live the rest of your life talking about all things are possible and never move your lazy self beyond possibility. It ain't nobody's fault you stuck but your own. Can't spend the rest of your life talking about possibilities. At some point, you got to move beyond the possibilities. These men were blind. Now, you know, I caught this early. I don't tend to stand up here long. I'm tired. And I got tickets in my pocket to go somewhere. You know, and if you want to get somebody motivated, give them tickets to go somewhere. I'm waiting on Saturday now. Y'all don't know. It's Friday afternoon for us, I'm concerned. You understand that the capture for me is they were blind, but the text says they were following Jesus. you don't even see where I'm finna rub you upside your head right now. They are blind and following Jesus. You can see. What's your excuse? Some of us ain't followed Jesus in so long, we don't even know which way he went. Watch this. Hear the shout, Dr. Corbett. it didn't say nobody was helping them follow him either. They were on their own motivation. They might have been knocking stuff over, bumping into some stuff, but they didn't lose sight of Jesus. Somebody said they ain't had no sight, they were blind. You can see more in the spirit than you'll ever see in your eye. You just gotta know how to catch the sight. So they're blind, they're following. And the question for me is why won't you move beyond possibility? So sometimes you've got to know that what you want pushes you to get what you want. I know that there are those of us who are just side of the road recipients. Just gonna wait till the Lord come. Just gonna hold fast to the profession of my faith. I shall not be moved. You stay right there. I heard Jesus is going that way. And where the Lord is, I'm beyond possibility. You don't have to agree with me. You stay right there. How many of y'all know that there are some folk you're gonna have to leave right there? Matter of fact, some of y'all might want to relocate in the middle of preaching. You don't, let me tell you something. You don't get what's out there staying right here. The text says, watch this now. Now I'm going to explain it, Sister McKenzie. I'm setting it up. The text said not only did they follow him, but they went in where he went in. See, it's one thing to follow the Lord. It's another thing to go where he go. You can follow at a distance and still say you follow him. A lot of us do that. We follow the Lord one Sunday close. And the Sunday we don't come, we still following. But there's a distance. We follow the Lord when we won't. But we follow the distance when we give. Y'all ain't talking. You are well aware of the fact that if you're going to move beyond possibility, you got to up your game. Now you're going to have to ramp it up in order to get beyond just running your mouth about what the Lord can do. The question comes in, okay, what did they really want? What they written? You know, because they could have just been looking for a handout. They could have just want to talk to Jesus for a minute, you know. But the question this hour is, what's going to move you beyond possibility? Nudge your neighbor and say, what do you really want? Bob says, watch this now, Tyrone. The Bible says you can ask for anything, and I'll give it to you. The problem is most of us do not prioritize our requests. You asking for a new car and you blind. Hey, Miss Daisy. You asking for the wrong thing at the wrong time. Or is it that you're asking for the wrong thing at the right time? Because you do have Jesus' attention. Lord, send me a husband. And you ain't got no job. Lord, how long y'all want me to do this? You understand that. That you got to get your priorities. Listen, let me see if I can get y'all to help me. It's 24 minutes after 12. How many of you are honest enough to admit that you have asked for the wrong thing on more than one occasion? Thank you. A couple of y'all thinking about it. A couple of y'all gave me that. Well, you understand. He says, watch this. It's right there in the text. The text said they followed Jesus. Went into the house behind him. Watch this now. They said, Lord, have mercy on us. Now watch this. They didn't necessarily say, Lord, we want to see, first of all. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus, knowing all things, this is what ought to make some of us move from possibility. Knowing all things, says to them, do you believe I can make you see? Isn't that wonderful? So can I tell y'all something? Next time you get an audience with Jesus, don't waste his time with all that fluff. Just get to the point. Jesus said, what? Jesus makes them take accountability of his time. He said, do you believe I can make you see? Jesus didn't ask them about their clothes, where they came from. None of that stuff matters. What we must learn to do is move from possibility by getting to the point. Y'all don't want to shout? Let me see if I can make you shout. How much more of your time you think you got to waste just hemming and hawing with the Lord? You might as well get down to business. The meeting shall come to order. We're not going to talk about old business. We're not going to read the financial report. We need to get down to new now business. We don't have much more light left in the day. Always talking about possibility. One of these days, soon and very soon, tired of that kind of life. Let's do some now business. Jesus said, they said, yes, Lord. They didn't look at, well, they couldn't look at each other. Y'all come on back to church. They didn't waste no time. They didn't try to get the committee's opinion. They weren't the only one in that room. Watch this. The Bible says, we can ask for anything we want. And whatever our whatever is, we better ask for it now. You got the Lord on the main line? You better go and tell him what you want. Watch this now. He says, whatever your whatever is. Because the text says, watch this now. The Bible says, not necessarily in this particular text, but I can show it to you. The Bible says that we know that whatever we ask, we got it. It's in the Bible, right? That's biblical. The story revealed that their whatever was right now. So what I want to help you understand, children of God, if you're going to move from just possibility, your whatever is going to take the full measure of your faith. Watch this. It's right there in the text. Jesus said, do you believe I can make you see? They said, yes. That's full measure. Let me help you. Some of us have missed the moment because we did not exercise the full measure. Some of us are stuck in mediocrity and suffer in melancholy because we will not step up with full measure. But whatever it is, it's going to take, watch this, your faith. No, don't worry about the pastor. Don't worry about the deacon or the trustee. Don't worry about who looking. Your faith. They weren't the only one in that room with a problem. But Jesus is talking to them. They just said, well, Lord, we from the wrong side of town. Lord, we got other issues that we need. Hey, no, yes, full measure. And when you move to the full measure, you get the full measure. The text said, I'm going. The text says, and suddenly, the Lord didn't say, well, look here, go home and lay down a while. Full measure gets the full measure. You give him full faith, you get full faith results. You're wasting time, children.
let me throw this sidebar here. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you right now, I don't expect a whole lot from unbelievers. I don't expect the movement of God to be manifest in unbelievers. I don't have a problem with it because they're unbelievers. Listen, those who are dying are choosing to die where they die. I'm going to die on my way somewhere. It won't be right here. It won't be because I'm just sitting around whining about it. I believe God. You got to press toward the mark. Some of us, I told them in Christian Academy this morning, Sister Ava, that some of us are just Egypt dwellers. We don't want to leave. We don't want to see nobody else leave. And we do want to go back, but don't necessarily want to go back, but we want to go back. Sidebar. Some folk don't ever want to be blessed. Because if you want to be blessed, you'll do what it takes to get blessed. It's that simple. The text says, these are blind men following Jesus. That's whatever it takes right there. They follow him. And watch this. I strongly suggest, brothers and sisters, that if you're going to pick a place to flake out, don't flake out around Jesus. If some people say, how'd they get in here? Who's that? Notice this. Jesus ignores everybody else except them. It's right there. It says he talked to them. They talked to him. He didn't turn around and say, well, y'all think about it. Is these brothers worthy of a blessing? Some of us won't even come to the Lord on a given Sunday because we're concerned about what folk going to say if we come up there. Some of us have come to God broken down on our last swing and prayer, and rather than ask the church to pray for their condition or pray for their calamity, we clam up wondering about what folk going to say. Let me tell you something. When you have audience with God, you better tell him what you want. You gotta stop all this clamming up and looking around trying to see who gonna hear what you say. You hungry. You broke. You lonely. Jesus is here. You just living on, maybe. I'm going with manifestation. I'm going with make it happen, God. I came to get mine. Shirley Caesar said, you're next in line for the miracle. So how? Okay, well, here's how. You have two blind men. We got to go. Two blind men, Jesus, and a house full of folk. So how is it, Pastor, that we move from possibility? Well, first thing you need to do, brothers and sisters, beloved of God, you've got to learn how to create an atmosphere based on your faith. Ambiance, if you will. Certain, fellas, where my fellas at? Fellas, how many of you have ever tried to create a certain ambiance based on your faith? I'm just saying, you took all the white bulbs out and put red bulbs in, or blue bulbs. You know, you bought. You listen. The young lady came to your house, thought you hadn't paid your light bill. You got candles everywhere. Come on, fellas. Look, some of y'all done gone. Y'all way out there now. Y'all done left church. Come on back for a few moments. You set the mood. You got candles and you done vacuumed the rug, fluffed the pillows. You got air freshener everywhere. All kinds. It's like a botanical jungle Your neighbors are saying, what is that smell? It's so fresh. You got Febreze, Glade, and Renuzin. You're trying to set, based on the fact that you know she going to go for me. I'm feeling kind of right about it myself. But you create, watch this, they created it by, watch, participating in their desire. They went, look, that wasn't their house. That's somebody else. They created an atmosphere. Based on, they walked in behind Jesus and said to him, yes, we do. How do you do it, Dr. Corbett? Well, first thing, write this one down. In order to create the faith atmosphere, you got to distance yourself from doubters. You got to get away from folk that don't think you're going to get what you want to get. Oh, boy, y'all ain't talking to me. You got to be, the Bible says it is because of unbelief that Jesus could do no miracles in a certain town. You need to leave that town. I'm not going to hang around folk that don't want me to get what I want because they don't think I can get what I want. All right, watch this. You got to, not only that, but you got to make sure that you don't get connected with dream killers. Joseph, come here. Joseph stood out there and told his whole family about his dream, and they all broke bad. Even his daddy, who loved him and loved the Lord, said, son, I need to understand what you just said to me. Are you saying that your mama and I are going to bow down to you? He said, I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm just telling you what I... See, some of y'all done had that happen to you, ain't you? You made the mistake of being connected with dream killers, and you stopped believing your own dream. Some of y'all need to walk out of here today saying, I ain't got no business stuck right here. You got to understand that these boys created a faith atmosphere by going in that room. Watch this now. Had they not gone in that room, Jesus would not have said what he said. Not only that, he would not have done what he did. Somebody in this room, y'all don't see the setup, but let me tell you right now. Somebody in this room, you are the next setup to get a manifestation from the power of God so that somebody's life can be changed. If they had not followed Jesus, we would not have verse 27, 28, 29, and 30. Matthew would have been sitting around that night writing and saying, well, I ain't got nothing else to write. Oh, them blind boys. You gotta stay distance from doubters. Don't get connected with dream killers. And here's a bonus right here. Stay away from stuck folk. Folk who always stuck. This here how it is. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm cool. I'm content now. And try to make it biblical by talking about, well, the Bible say, whatever state I'm in, be content. No, you stuck. There's a difference between being content and stuck. I call them rut renters. They renting a rut place. When you could move into a palace, you paying rent in a rut. You ain't got no business living with a mindset like that. Let this mind be also in you. Hey, he says, well, we go and we create this atmosphere. Watch this now. They followed him in the house. That's the atmosphere. What happens when you get there? Well, watch this now. I told you already, one town Jesus is in, nothing happens because you got all these rut renters and dream killers, and you got all these stuck people and doubters. And Jesus said, man, I'm out of here. And the text reminds us, it's not that he didn't want to do it. Can I give you a bonus to shout on? Right now, Jesus want to bless you. Right now, not when you get this together, not when you get straight, not when you get, right now, in your present condition, position, Jesus wants to bless you. You ought to put a ring on it. I'm talking to you. I'm telling you right now, because of his power, mercy, grace, and favor, you is the one he want to bless. Watch this. Jesus did not send the apostles, disciples, the boys out to find them. Jesus said, look, I need to bless somebody. Go get somebody so we can make a big to-do out of the day. They were the ones. You gotta understand that when you create an atmosphere, an anointing will flow. The anointing is always available, but the atmosphere isn't always right. Watch this. Remember David and the oil? In that atmosphere, based on who was there, the oil wouldn't flow. But when the right one comes in the room, y'all ain't talking to me. When the right one, listen, Jairus' daughter was dead, previous verses, but when Jesus comes in the room, the atmosphere and the anointing come together. One more. Martha and Mary, Lazarus is dead. Daughter said, Lord, if you had been here, the right atmosphere and the anointing got to come together. Tell your neighbor, you got to set up the atmosphere. Watch this. The Bible says that Jesus, now in the atmosphere, now the anointing is flowing, ask a question. Watch this now. That question was not give us sight, but he asked them, did they want sight? The atmosphere is right. The anointing is flowing. He asks a question. They authenticate his ask by giving the right answer. Y'all missed that. I said they authenticate what he asked by giving the right answer. God has asked some of y'all the question. You just didn't give him the right answer. I'm feeling this. You got an opportunity now. And you gonna fluff. You gonna wait. How many of y'all watch Jeopardy? I like Jeopardy. I do pretty good on my couch. Jeopardy is good because they give you the answer. You just gotta ask the right question. How many of you would sure enough have a better life if all you had to do was ask the right question? Amen. Watch this. He comes in and asks. The authentication is there. They say, yes, sir. And what happens to a whole lot of us is when the Lord asks, we don't give him the right answer. Much prayer increases our potential. And when they prayed, that's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And when they prayed, they prayed and moved the whole community from community to church. Because what happens to a whole lot of us is, in the presence of God, we get awestruck. Ask Jacob, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. You imagine what Jacob's life would have been like from the moment he knew the presence of the Lord, rather than having to wrestle all, y'all ain't talking back to me. Some of us make ourselves wrestle when we didn't have to. Come on and talk back to me. Some of y'all been struggling with stuff you could have dumped a long time ago if you had just gave the right answer. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. You don't have to live in the world of a possibility when you can live in the presence of promise. That's where we're going. You are right there. They walk into the house. Jesus asked the question. Now watch this now. They respond by being confident and competent to their assurance of faith. Heavy preach right there. They didn't have no problem being confident when they responded to him, and they were competent in their request. In that the Lord actually does it for them. All they got to do is jump on it. Y'all ain't hearing me. There are some things that the Lord has already put into the atmosphere. All you got to do is get on board. Am I right about it? The Lord said, listen, based on what you believe, right there, right? Then the text, he said, because of your faith. You got to understand that competency always brings the right conclusion. Right there, right over your head. Competency always brings the right conclusion. They did not waste their time. They did not allow others to intervene. They did not miss their moment. They were straight up with God. And he said, because of your faith. Y'all ain't shouting yet. Let me tell you what the Lord is saying to you in this room. He said, listen, the thing that you want me to do, I really want to do it. The thing that you're asking me, I really want to give it to you. But you got to learn how to move to the level of competency so that when I ask you, you give me the right answer. When the question is presented, you've got the right response. Because what I'm trying to tell you is, it's really always been because of your faith. The whole lot of the matter is that a lot of us have been living with watered down faith. We've been struggling around the wrong kind of attitude. We haven't made the proper application based on the assurance of God's anointing. So rather than come clean with God, we would rather just sit around and go, well, one of these days, I know the Lord gonna hear and answer me. One of these days, the Lord gonna swing by. No, honey, you gotta step up your game now. As a matter of fact, look at your name and say, I'm about to step this thing up. Because watch this now. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. Watch this now. I told you they were two blind men, but they had, if you went by human nature or if you went by realism, blind men would not have approached the Lord. But the Bible says this is the confidence that we have that when we approach God, look at your name and say, I'm about to draw near to God. The confidence we have, watch this, is that if we ask anything according to his will, there it is, according to his will. Let me help you understand with your shouting self. God does not desire for you to live in poverty. God does not desire for you to live without love. God does not desire for you to live with heartache, rheumatism, arthritis, high blood pressure, diabetes, but according to his will. So the answer in my competency is that I shall declare unto God according to his published word. In other words, you got to stand in the scriptures. They said to God, yes, we do. We desire, God, that we live like you designed us to live. Look at your name and say, get back to the design. You were designed to be the head and not the tail. You were designed to be first and not last. You were designed to be the lender, not the boy. Y'all ain't shouting like I thought you would. It is according to the will of God. Look at your name and say, neighbor, his will be done. Their response is, yes, Lord. They didn't ask for the committee's opinion. They didn't ask their mama or their daddy. They didn't wait on their cousin to join the church. They didn't wait on somebody to say it's the right moment. They said, yes, Lord. I'm trying to help you understand that if you desire today to move from possibility, the answer is yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes, Lord. Look at your name and say, neighbor, the answer is yes. I have this decided that the assurance of my faith required that God bless me. I decided not to live like this anymore. I decided to ramp up my game just a little because I know the answer is yes. And when you say yes to God, God will say yes to you. James said, draw near unto God and God will draw near unto you. You got to come out of your comfort zone. You got to get away from your haters. You got to stay away from the dream killers. And let your request be made known to God. Grandma was right when she said, just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of being heartbroken. I'm tired of crying all night. I've made up my mind that I'm going to call on the Lord. How many know when you call on the Lord that he will? I said he will. When you call on the Lord, I said call him up. In your midnight hour, call him up. And when you call on the Lord, God will. I say God will. Won't God do it? Is there anybody in the room? The Lord made a way somehow. Has God been your bridge over your troubled waters? Did he heal your body? Can you say yeah? Is there anybody in the room where God is your answer? God is your question. God is your sentence. God is your book. Can you say, God, I found all that I need, and I found it in the Lord. He is. Tell your neighbor, yes, he is. Whatever I need, God is. Whatever I am, God is. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm going to shift my game. I'm not going to sit around talking about what might be. I'm not going to sit around crying about what ain't. I made up my mind. I'm going to shift my game from possibility to actuality. I'm changing my thought patterns. I'm not going to sit around and cry to the east, Sally, and cry to the west. I made up my mind. I shall call upon that name, because there's power in that name. Anybody know there's power in that name? What's that name? His name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, demons behave themselves. Anybody got some demon issues? At the name of Jesus, finance behaves itself. At the name of Jesus, marriages behave themselves. Call him up. Call him up. And God will. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Ain't God all right? Ain't he a way maker? Ain't God all right? Jesus is on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. Let your request be made known. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, when I leave here today, I'm going to get me a number 2 pencil and a clean piece of paper, and I'm going to let my request be made known to God. I'm going to check my list and check it twice, and unto God I shall let my request be made known. The deacons can't stop me. The preacher can't prevent me. I'm calling on the name that is above every name. Is there power in that name? Is there healing in that name? Is there joy in that name? Is there peace in that name? Can you say that name? Say that name. Say that name. Power. 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 Power in that name. You gotta move. You're more than a possibility. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you'll never look at me like that again. I'm more than a possibility. I can do all things. Not only, we got to go, but the last thing I was going to tell you, you can stand up. We're going to leave. I'm gone. I got to go. You create the atmosphere. You have to be confident and competent in the assurance of your faith. But the last one, this one I like. You got to understand, watch this now, that you must be a consistent collaborator in the actuality of your faith. Jesus asked, they said yes, they worked with him. Now watch this. I wanted to make this point very briefly. Jesus said, don't go tell nobody what I did. They got outside, looked at each other, said, I don't care what he said. First of all, and some of y'all talk to Jesus like this anyway. First of all, folk gonna know we ain't blind no more. Somebody gonna ask us, how is it that you left here blind and come back here seeing? Somebody gonna say, where y'all been? Who y'all been with? And what happened? So they say, I don't care what he said. I'm telling everybody who asked me, and before they ask me, I'm going to tell them. That guy Jesus is bad to the bone. I once was blind, but now I see. Nobody but Jesus. They say, listen, you heard what he said. He said, man, I don't care. I got to tell it. And they overcame by the words of their testimony. There's some overcomers in this camp. You've been holding back some good news. We used to sing that old song in the AME church. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. I'm here to tell you today that you can move from possibility because the Lord wants to do something for you. You are in the atmosphere of your faith, and there are other believers that want to see it done. Be it unto you as you have requested. So be it. How would you like to be in the audience of God and hear the Lord say, so be it? Before you can even open your mouth, he says, so be it. God is willing to move you from more than possibility. You've been faithful, I understand. But you got to go forward now. You've got to understand that there are three things. I didn't use them. I'll leave them to y'all preachers. Three things have to happen. First of all, you have to understand the instructions. The instructions, the book. I was going to work on that a little bit because the Bible says man does not live by bread alone but by every word. I was going to work on that. I said, nah, I passed that up. It's getting late. The second thing is, you got to have an imagination. You got to see yourself out of that condition. How many of you ever heard folks say, well, it's just how it's going to be? I mean, sometimes, you know, you just got to take it. No. You got to have an imagination. How do you dare say that to us, men of God? Because the Bible says, without vision, we perish. You're going to die like that? You gonna stay there? Other folk got out. What makes you think you can't get out? You gotta have an imagination. Bishop Ivy Hilliard, in his book Maximizing, he talks about until you can see yourself in a place, you feel that you're not worthy of the place. I read that and I said, wow. He gives an illustration. He says, and we'll let you go. He said that when he was pastoring a little old Kona church, he would go over to one of the mega churches and just sit in there and see himself preaching and see people coming. He said before he bought his first helicopter, he would go over to the air charter company and ask the people, can he just sit in the helicopter? And then he said he had enough money to ask him to give him a charter flight in the helicopter. And then he would look over the things that he would see from the air and see himself there on the ground. You got to see it. You got to have an imagination. You got to smell the interior of the new car. Even before you get in it. You got to play with the radio and turn the cruise control on. You got to walk in a new house before you even get out of your apartment. I used to do it. My wife would say, we used to go ride around looking at houses. We have no money. And God help me, they had open house. We would walk in like we really got something. We would dress up before we went. See, because we didn't want to go looking like we couldn't be there. Y'all ain't hearing me. When I used to go test drive them Cadillacs and Mercedes, I would dress up. Yes, sir, I'd put on a sport coat and go to, and they treat you different. When you can't come out there